Okay, it's good to see a nice crowd this morning. I wanted to also recognize Dr. Deb Steiner, who is the co-PI in this project. And, you know, we kind of work together. We're in different locations within Ohio. I'm in Northwest Ohio, and her project is more in Northeast Ohio. So we're in different climates and soils. But I'll simply be talking about my project. And this is in memory of John Herzl in Ohio. He was a real early innovator in the organic world and did a lot, I think, even on the national program. He passed away, I think it's year 2000. So this was really dedicated to his memory and his initial work in organic systems that this was all created. So we have a nice recognition at the site. And it's something that I'm located in that county, so I don't know if it's by luck sometimes you get into these projects, but I also have an interest in it, and things just kind of click together. So we're getting some actual hard funding from the university to keep this continued, which is really great not to have to worry about a grant every single year to keep it continued. So I'd really encourage, if you ever get in that situation, to get funding that is not grant-based. It makes a world of difference to operate. So we're, you know, looking at, you know, the general outreach of organic systems in an area that typically is not organic, a very much conventional area in Northwest Ohio, like most of the Midwest. So it's quite a challenge, and we're taking that right, you know, to the public. So, you know, as you get to several people involved in designing experiments, they soon get a little more complicated than what you'd like to make them practical, and that always happens. So this is five systems, and it's all within this 30-acre area. The first two, Farming System 1, is a no-till conventional. Basically, we're mimicking what our neighbors are doing. It's high fertility, high pesticide, maximum yield, conventional, no-till. Farming System 2 is kind of a reduced input, sustainable system, but conventional. It is not organic. So in System 2, we are looking at manures, cover crops, trying to reduce basically on our nitrogen purchase of commercial nitrogen whenever possible. And then System 3, 4, and 5 are the certified organic systems. So these are going through anything, you know, that the farmer needs to do to get certified. And basically System 3 mimics the conventional systems, 1 and 2. So it's always the same cropping system, and we went in cold turkey in transition and started out right in our grain with corn the very first year in transition. So this is not recommended, but we said, okay, we're going to mimic this as conventional all the way through, and did it that way. So we're using manures, cover crops, in System 3. System 4 was, we call it front-end loaded. And this is typically what John Herzl did on his farm, where you put all the inputs in before you get into being certified. So during transition, they would front load with, I think, about 28 tons per acre of compost manures. So it was very high expense initially, and then follow that with 3 years of alfalfa, and you have all your nutrients, you know, your phosphorus, potassium, and other micronutrients all in place initially. And then the alfalfa helps build up the nitrogen, so that first year you're certified, you're off and running with a very good soil quality and good fertility program. But it's high initial expense. And then System 5, we call it our cheap organic system. We're not buying compost or using manures. It's a non-livestock system, relying on green manures and lengthy crop rotations. So we're using maybe 2 years of clover, and looking at non-high use type crops like spelt and sunflowers and things, and not the intensive grain system. So it's low input and maybe low yields, but yet the economics still may be somewhat similar. So that's what we're looking at. And it's a complicated field. Each area there is 30 feet wide, which would be 12 rows in corn, and about 900 feet long. So we actually are using farmer-sized equipment. These are not small plots. and we have all our equipment, geared for 6-row equipment and 30-inch rows. So we're trying to use cultivators and other equipment typical to what farmers are using, and that was important to this project. So we're not basing it on small plot results. These are our field scale plots. And the B is our border. Of course, in certification, you have to have border away from conventional. So guess what? We have all these borders scattered throughout our test field. And those we keep in permanent sod, and those are harvested, for hay that way. So it gets quite complicated, but we wanted to replicate farmer-friendly and farmer research, which gives us better credibility, we feel, in that realm. I focus just on a few of our results. Of course, we've been soil testing, and whenever money allows, trying to gain as much soil quality data as possible. So I've just picked out a few that have some significance to discuss. And this was active carbon. Dr. Rafiq Islam in our South Centers at Ohio State has a very unique lab where we can get into these components of carbon. And this is one that he can study and differentiate out of the carbon. It's called active carbon, or which is more of the life of the soil also. And you can see the no-till system there on the left, along with the conventional, which would be the second one on the left, both as A in the deeper layer, has very low active carbon versus the deeper layer with the B's as far as significance. There we're doing tillage on all three of the organic systems. So we're getting more active carbon deeper in the soil profile. Even though it's been about 8 years in no-till, we still have not achieved very much deeper into the soil profile with our active carbon. It takes longer and longer time than we ever expected to get that accomplished. We hope in time that the no-till will gain in some of that, but right now it is pretty low, and probably some of the commercial fertilizer input is hurting some of that too, some of those microbes and things. Microbial biomass, again, kind of looking at the life of the soil, we're seeing a similar trend there where the shallow part of the soil samples, 1 to 6 inch, the blue line, not significantly different. So our surface, we are getting, somewhat active on microbial biomass, but as you look deeper in the soil, that 6 to 12 inch depth with the red line of the no-till separates out as being less active with microbial biomass. So that's separated out statistically. The conventional, the second one in there, came up better in this, I think, because we are doing some tillage even in that conventional system and mixing some of our cover crops and other inputs in that conventional system is how it was able to come up better in this comparison with microbial biomass. And looking at pH, kind of another good indicator of the life of the soil. Again, we see the no-till system on the left with the A, and both of these depths did sort out statistically at the 10% confidence there. So it was less in both shallow and deeper. Again, we're adding commercial fertilizers. We're not mixing our soils. So that's kind of what you'd expect, I think, to see no-till, lower pH. We have not applied lime to any of these either, just to see over time here, what those effects may be. I think pretty soon now we're going to have to apply some lime to get that more in balance. And also what helps some of our organic systems, occasionally we do have access to poultry compost, so obviously we're getting better calcium input when we're able to use that input. So that's bringing up our pH there. But we like to see it in our area, that 6 to 6.2 is a nice range. 5.8 we can live with. But as we get down below 5.4, of course, that's not really recommended agronomically. So the organic systems, where we had compost and legumes, LEG, legume systems, or greater biological control of the nitrogen cycle. It's so hard in these cropping systems to get the adequate amount of nitrogen, especially for organic corn production. So as we're trying to get these nutrient levels more available, getting our life of the soil more active, we hope to get this nitrogen cycle kicked up in a little higher gear and therefore increase our crop yields from that. It is taking longer than we thought, but we are seeing that shift happening. The high initial economic cost, but rapid response to that soil quality, where we front-end loaded that system. We were very pleased that those nutrients cycled as quickly as they did, and our crop yields showed that result quite well. So economically, we're putting a lot up front, but we're getting our returns quickly back from that. Like I discussed, the pH was much less than the no-till, microbial biomass. Basically, all three of those, the no-till was much less. With 5 years of commercial fertilizer, so we can see, pretty drastic differences from the no-till to the organic systems as far as the pH and other soil quality measurements there. So we're going to be looking at the lime and the no-till system coming up. Not using cover crops, manure, or compost in the no-till system, I think this is another key. As we look at recommending systems, especially in our area where we have very little livestock, it's quite difficult to get that input that our soils need. So we have to focus more and more on our green manures, our cover crops, to try to do the same kind of work that our natural system with manures could be doing much easier. So we're trying to encourage our livestock part of organic production, and in any kind of systems, I think that's an important discussion to have. We've got to have within our community people willing to go to that extra step and get our livestock, maybe not even certified, as long as we have some type of livestock that we can use their manures into our compost or direct raw application, it's going to much improve these organic cropping systems. So we're seeing a big problem with that in our area. And of course, tillage helps maintain that soil quality deeper into the soil system also. It just takes a lot of time to move no-till deeper into the soil. So as we look, basically we keep these systems all independent. When we do have the same crops, like the organic is marketed differently, so there's higher income, even with lower yields. So we're not trying to do apples to apples across all five systems every year. It's like a long-term comparison. So this was kind of a point of time here after 5 years, and we took an income average per year with some of the ups and downs of different crops, yields, and all. And you can see the organic compost, where we did that front-end high input loading, did come up economically much better. We had a big cost to purchase the compost, but our yields really responded well, and with the organic income from that, we really think that's a good way to look at things. Get it jump started quite easily that way. Crop yields, of course, all over the board. Occasionally we do get some organic yields quite comparable to conventional, but it is still quite difficult to match that. Weeds, probably our biggest problem. We could have a whole discussion all day, I think, on organic weed control, but that is probably why some of our farmers have given up and got discouraged on organic crop production because of weeds. It's really difficult. So with that, I'll leave with my contact information there. I'm a county-based extension educator in Northwest Ohio, and this is just part of what I do. I'm not full-time in it or anything, but there's needs for it, and I just appreciate the university supporting me in this work. So, questions? Back here. No, with this system, that's the drawback. We just do one crop per year. We don't have the area to do that. So it's going to be luck of the draw of weather and things. Yep. Question? Yep. The area we're at is old Lake Erie lake bed back in the glacier. It's very flat, absolutely no slope, and real heavy clay-type soil. So it's quite difficult. Organic matter is not bad, about 3.5 to 4% organic matter, high CC, 18 to 22 CC. So it's got a good nutrient holding capacity, but tough soils, not very mellow. how we balance it with our input choices, you mean? Well, compost or manures, it would be a good source. We're not adding any rock phosphate or any other organic inputs. It's simply through green manures, compost, or raw manures is how we're getting that accomplished. And we had pretty good levels to start with. This was an old tomato research farm, so we were on high levels of P and K and other micros to begin with. So they're not out of balance yet. Is that it?
Yes.
Okay, thanks very much.
If you have